You are listening to From the Margins.
Aggressive state intervention into the local labor movement that ensures that the radical labor movements are marginal.
What they're looking for now is less to get elected and more to come to the favorable attention of capital.
For the first time in history, we have a movement in this country led by indigenous peoples and most importantly, indigenous women.
Repeatedly we've seen the attempt to criminalize black victims, to do anything to smear their names, to basically imply that black life isn't worth anything.
Our society teaches women to be ashamed of their bodies, to hate their bodies, to change their bodies.
We see increasing organized repression.
I'm stubborn. I'm not going to back down. This could go on for years and years and years.
People need to realize what type of struggle that they're on.
The police, of course, want you to believe that there's some kind of criminal reason behind this.
Take every day as an act of resistance, whether it was a strike, a riot, or whatever.
It's very difficult for people to engage in sustained dissent. I don't believe it's impossible, though.
Asif Rashid from the Margins. On April 20th, 2018, something happened in Alberta that hadn't happened in over 30 years. Automatic certification of a union when it was found that the employer's anti-union activity destroyed a union drive. This happened at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Calgary, where the workers are now unionized through the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 401. This unionization was the result, ironically, of the firing of a union organizer, Aaron Doncaster. In 2017, the Alberta government enacted the Fair and Family-Friendly Workplace Act, which, among other things, restored the power to the Alberta Labor Relations Board to allow for automatic certification. This recent decision is the first time that this restored law has been applied. I spoke to Aaron on April 27th. We spoke about how the unionization effort started, how he got fired, the ruling of the Labor Board, and what it all means for working people in Alberta.
It is the Hilton Garden Inn and Homewood Suites. I had picked up this job in 2016. So I guess from the very get-go, once I started there, we saw some problems.
What were those problems? Like, what were workers talking about that they wanted to change the workplace?
A lot of the things were just basic disrespect for management, being talked down to. But then there were also lack of desire with management to fill positions that were needed. So we were always short-staffed and we were running our butts off, and it wasn't fair to anybody.
So how soon was it that conversations about unionization started?
I picked up the job in the fall of 2016, and then probably around the spring of 2017, I had started talking about union stuff with one of the guys that worked there, and unfortunately a few weeks later he had quit. And so it kind of went down a little bit for another couple of months, but definitely into the middle of the summer we had started talking about unionization, and then by the middle of August we gave USCW a call.
So he gave USCW a call, union drive began. Now take me to what happened at the workplace around that time. So now the union drive is happening. Were there visible signs of a union drive going on at the workplace?
Management didn't know until, we think anyway, that they didn't know until probably the second week.
When did the employer start reacting to the union drive? When did you first start notice this?
At the first week of September, there was a couple chats I had with the chef about UFCW because I wanted to go to Labor Day. As you know, UFCW puts on a barbecue at Labor Days. But other than that, I didn't think management knew at all about it. And I didn't really know until the day I got fired.
So tell me about the story of what led to your firing, at least from what did management talk to you about, what happened, how did you get fired?
They claimed it was because of tardiness, and a lot of the tardiness that they would claim was by not coming 15 minutes early. they had wanted all the staff to come in 15 minutes early. So I think that a lot of it came down to that. There was a couple times where I had texted that I'd be late, and the chef at the time didn't really make a big issue about it. If you read through the ruling, you'll hear where there were texts between me and him, and he sent a text back after I said it was going to be late. He said, stop at the 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee for me. So obviously he wasn't overly concerned. There were a couple other times where he had changed the schedule and he told me to come in an hour later. And they tried to say that those were times when I was late. And also they have a process that is not supposed to be to punish the worker, but is supposed to be to help the worker get better. And their process is kind of like a three strikes thing.
It's so, like a progressive discipline thing?
Yeah, exactly. A progressive discipline thing. They give you oral warnings, then you're supposed to have a written warning, and then maybe a suspension, and then a firing. But the oral warnings are supposed to be documented. Yeah. I had no documentation of oral warnings at all. I only had one written warning.
So really what was going on, as we'll get to, is that the employer found out about the union drive, is that right?
I wasn't fully aware until actually the day I got fired. But in retrospect, it probably had to do with my not being overly afraid of having management catch me. I was willing to talk to employees and my coworkers and pass out some business cards. So I'm thinking in retrospect that maybe one of those business cards got back to management.
All right, so here you are, you get fired. What did you do after you were fired? How did you respond to that?
Joe told me, Joe Irving, our union rep with UFCW 401, told me to give him a call if anything out of the ordinary happened. So once I got fired, we gave him a call. Even though it wasn't part of our strategy to get me fired, this was a violation of the employer, and we could make a case at the labor board. And so that's what we did.
Tell me about what happened at the labor board hearing.
Well, once we got to the labor board hearing, it was in November of last fall. What actually happened in our favor, I think, is they had fired one of the workers, one of the supervisors in the kitchen. So after they did that, the company wanted to have him testify. I guess they were hoping that the testimony would go in their favor, but they were sadly mistaken, because he was asked by our lawyer if he had talked about unions with me at all, and he said yes, and our lawyer said, well, what did you say? And he said, I told them unions were the scum of the earth. And so that really helped our case. Not only that, but you know, when I got up there, I was told to be, you know, honest and calm. I was a little nervous, but I thought I did okay. And lo and behold, when the ruling came out, the adjudicators at the labor board thought I did well. You know, they said, to paraphrase, we liked Darren Doncaster's testimony. It was very honest and thorough. Whereas when it came to the manager, they specifically said that it seemed rehearsed. Now, if anybody in your listening audience wants to actually read the whole case, they can go to the Alberta Labor Board, and it's public, so anybody can read it.
So they decided, the Labor Board adjudicators decided that you were fired due to being a union organizer, right?
Yes, that was the ruling, and they gave me the option of getting my job back. The ruling came out in February, I believe it was, and then we had the remedy hearing in March. I believe it was March 10th we had the remedy hearing. And we were a little worried at the beginning, because the remedy hearing, after it was done, they gave me 2 weeks to decide whether I wanted my job back. And if I decided to go back, which I did, that I'd be put back on the schedule within 24 hours. But the thing that really got us a little worried is that they held off on the direct certification. that really put us as workers in limbo. And we were a little like, well, do we want to continue signing people up? So it was a little more difficult to get people signed up, because a lot of people were being like, well, we're going to get automatic certification anyway. Luckily, they came out 2 weeks after a remedy hearing with the decision to give us automatic certification, which came out last Friday and was confirmed on Monday.
So you got your job back. Did you also get back pay?
That is a different story. We're still working on that. The way that the back pay works is that the labor board gives a directive to the employer to give back pay, but it's up to our lawyer and the lawyer of the company to come up with the appropriate number. If we can't come up with it, then it will go back to the labor board and they will make the ultimate decision. It's been a couple weeks and we still haven't heard back from the employer about the status of where they're at in the process. I personally wouldn't mind sending it back to the labor board, because I don't get a good feeling of having waited this long to hear from the employer. So I trust that because they felt I did a good job testifying and that I seemed honest, that if we sent it back to the labor board, that the number that they choose would be closer to the number that we put out rather than the number that the employer would have.
All right, now let's talk about automatic certification, which is really, basically, it hasn't happened in over 30 years in Alberta, that it's been found by a labor board, by the Alberta Labor Board, that an employer effectively destroyed a union drive that would have otherwise succeeded, and as a response to that, the labor board awards automatic certification to the union. That's what happened this time. So first off, what was the reaction amongst your coworkers when this decision came out?
It was really interesting, and it's still happening. I'm starting to witness, and we are all, the workers are starting to witness more and more people be open about talking about the importance of getting a union, whereas a lot of people before this were quiet, and they didn't even want to continue signing cards, because we were going to sign cards regardless, you know, because we didn't know, it wasn't a certainty that we would get this ruling. We were working hard to get a union either way. So once the ruling came out, yeah, it's almost like a flower that comes and blossoms, you know? It's like now the workers have more of the freedom. They feel safe now. They have protection. They can actually talk about what their true feelings are. It's interesting that a lot of them do want the union. A lot of them know that we have a lot of problems at the workplace. And they're happy to get the union in. A lot of them are now asking, you know, when they're going to come in, when are we going to get meetings with them, what's the update. As somebody who was a central part of this process, being that I got fired, it's a challenge to try to encourage the workers to see ourselves as the union, rather than this is just something that Aaron Doncaster did. And the more people feel comfortable, the more co-workers feel comfortable, I think the morale will increase. It'll be better for everyone, and things will get moving.
How about yourself? I know this isn't about you. This is about all you co-workers. This is about the workers together in the union. Mm-hmm. But this is a long struggle for you. How did you feel when you heard that this was automatic certification? Just what was going through your head?
Well, I was super excited. I actually had tears of joy. You know, it's amazing to see how the human body reacts when it's so happy. You just start, sometimes just start crying. It was definitely the happiest day of my life when I heard it. I've been there up until I got fired since it opened. I've seen many workers just quit because they couldn't take the problems that were in the workplace.
What do you have to say to other workers in Alberta now that this automatic certification has happened? Do you have any message about what this means to workers in the province or even beyond the province?
Well, it's for workers in Alberta, I don't think we need to get overly excited. I mean, this is a big victory for the working class, definitely. but it's no emancipation. However, workers now have a bit more breathing room. Workers can know that when they start a union drive, they're going to be protected. And the employers, they know that if they fire a worker who's in the midst of a union drive, that they will probably get the union. And the majority of employers out there are anti-union, specifically in Alberta. This is really a big milestone. So it's precedent setting, not just this case specifically, but the fact that the Labor Relations Code was changed, and seeing that previous to the government that's in power now, it was 44 years of a right-wing dynasty, and like you said, it's been since 1987 since they last had automatic certification on the books. So it's inspiring for me, and it should be inspiring for all workers. We need to let them know that this change has been made in the Labor Relations Code. We need to let them know that this case was taken to the Labor Board, and that we won this case, and that workers can win. You can have all the most wonderful labor-friendly laws on the books, but if you're not going to go out there and get boots on the ground and actually do the organizing, you're not going to get the union. So that is our responsibility as workers.